voice of the minority is not often given the chance to be heard. Nevertheless, truth cannot be measured by numbers. Yes. Let me say it again. Yes. Truth cannot be measured by numbers. Whatever the will of God says, no matter the majority, what they say, God's will still stands. And it stands true. And it stands firm. No matter what the majority might say. That minority often stands against the majority opinion. Truth remains unchanged because it is guaranteed not by the FDIC, not by the government, not by the One World Order. It is guaranteed by the character of God. God's character is standing at risk of his promises being fulfilled.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen. Yes.
I have said and I will say again that the will of God rests in the hands of men. And when somebody says, this is the will of God, and prophesies, and it may not come to pass, does it mean that that preacher is a false prophet?
Right, that's right.
Because the will of God rests in the hands of men.
Right.
Amen.
If you rebel against God when he said, you're going over, you're going to possess the promised land, just because you wander in the wilderness for 40 years.
Yes. Come on now.
Yes. Just because you wander in circles and you never get anywhere in your living for God that you were intended to be.
Yes.
Doesn't mean that his promises aren't true.
Right.
Because God intended for me to live above sin. But because you fail, and because he fails, and I fail, doesn't mean his promises aren't true. It's still his will for us to live above sin. It's still his will for us to live victorious. It's still his will for us to live in the blessings of the Almighty. But what holds us back from the will is us obeying it.
Yes.
Right?
Right. Yes.
Because we're just not ready for the promised land.
Praise
the Lord. Yeah, and I'm not preaching to anybody here today, really, that doesn't know the majority of what I'm talking about.
Yes. Praise
the Lord. He delivered you.
Yes.
You got baptized in his name, and you received the glorious, wonderful gift of the Holy Ghost, and God's done some miraculous things, and all of a sudden now you feel saved, and you're sitting on your blessed assurance and doing nothing. I'm telling you. I'm stirred. I'm moved about this because you sitting there wandering around the world. What are you getting done? What are you getting done? The Bible tells us that it is his will for us to propagate this gospel till all men shall hear. Not till we save them all.
Yes.
Because we don't save nobody.
Right.
But until everybody hears.
Right.
Till everybody knows.
Yes.
Till everybody in Spurgeon Reno knows that Souls Harbor is the place to find deliverance. Yeah. That Souls Harbor is the place to find healing. Yeah. That Souls Harbor is the place that you'll find mercy. That you'll find love. That you'll find the long-suffering, merciful hand of God.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Praise the Praise
y'all don't believe that. That's a promise, because we're beautiful for a situation.
Right.
It's church.
Right. Yes.
That's right.
So, well, Pastor, we got this problem in the church, we got that, and we're going to have problems. You know why? Because we're going to have people. And the more people that we get, the more problems we get.
Right.
Because the if you don't want any problems, guess what? Leave.
Yeah.
Well, I want to have no more problems. Y'all just all walk out of here, and I'll preach the same way that I'm preaching right now, and I won't have any problems. You know what? I don't like that idea.
Yeah.
I like having problems.
Yes.
Yeah. Problems mean we got people.
Right.
Right. Amen.
Yes.
I said problems mean we got people.
Yeah. Right. Amen.
Problems mean we still got work to do. Problems mean I still got a job from God.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes. 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 That's right.
That's what it means.
Yes.
And that's all right. And I ain't disturbed one bit about it. I love my job. Mm. I don't even count it a job.
Mm.
It's the greatest calling known to man. Yeah, sometimes it's disheartening, and sometimes it hurts, and man, my heart gets hurt, and I get heavy and emotional and all kinds of stuff. But when I really look at the big picture of it, man, the church is beautiful for a situation.
Yeah.
You all believe that? The church is beautiful.
Right.
Yeah. Because even though there may be a problem sitting on the second row and definitely on the first two, on the first row, right there, those two, even though there's problems because they're sitting there moving off and laughing at each other. And just, even though there may be a problem over here and a problem over there, I can still look and go, there's a miracle, and there's a miracle. And I can talk about that miracle, and I can talk about that miracle. And I can talk about that miracle, and that miracle, and that miracle. And I can talk about that miracle, and I can say,
yeah.
Because I can choose what I want to see.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
But I can also do this. But I'm going to make a choice. I can also go, yeah, there's a problem, and there's a problem, and there's a problem. And there's not going to be a problem. There's a problem, that not a problem. Not a problem. I can choose what I want to see.
That's right.
Right.
But I can also start to point out, there's a miracle, 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 miracle. There's another miracle. There's a miracle. There's a miracle. There's a miracle. There's a miracle. There's another miracle. There's a miracle. Miracle.
Right.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yes.
And you know what? I see more miracles. I see more miracles, and I hope to see more miracles. More miracles, Jesus. Hey, now I'm being a little facetious and a little funny at their expense, and don't take that wrong, fellas. But come on, you're men now. You're not little boys. You're not in Sunday school. Grow up.
Amen.
Amen. Lord.
Yes, sir.
There's some place that you got to just suck it up.
Right.
You got to tell yourself, no, I'm not going to act like that.
Right.
I'm not going to be like that.
Right.
I'm not going to allow myself just to cut up all the time.
Yes.
And you guys do it when I'm here, and then you do it worse when I'm not here. Shame on you. It's time to grow up.
Amen.
And that's a side note. But it was right.
Yeah.
Truth remains unchanged because it is guaranteed by God's character. Now, won't you listen to me? This is very important. Caleb was not so much a man of great faith as a man of faith in a great God.
That's it.
I had about five of you that got that, so maybe I can say it a little bit slower so the rest of you can catch that.
Yes.
Because we always talk about how great faith Caleb had. No, it was just faith.
Right.
It was just faith.
Yes.
But it was faith in a great God.
Yes.
And how many of us constantly say, well, I just can't live up to that great faith. You don't have to have great faith.
Right.
You just have to have
faith.
Yeah. For the Bible even said, the faith of the grain
of a mustard seed. And then I get real sick to my stomach when I look at a mustard seed. Ay, ay, ay. I can move mountains with that. But I'm not moving them. My great God is.
That's right. Amen.
Tiny little speck, because I'm not doing it, God is doing it.
Right.
His boldness rested on his understanding of who God was, not in his confidence of Israel's ability to conquer the land. He could not agree with the majority, for that would mean to disagree with God. We, on the other hand, often base our decisions on what everyone else is doing. We allow peer pressure to become overwhelming in our life.
Yes.
Like when somebody gossips, instead of stepping in there and saying, look, we're not going to talk about our pastor.
Right.
Not in any negative connotation or any shadow of negativity. We're not going to talk about his wife in a negative manner. You see, that takes courage, because while the four ladies are over there gossiping and running down somebody in the church, you got to have some integrity to step in and say, this is not edifying.
Right.
We're going to stop right here.
That's right, amen.
Right.
Is there a Caleb in the house that has another spirit that says, oh, no, 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 no. No, 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 no. We're going to stand up against the majority. I may be... they may thumb their nose at me. They may call me goody two shoes. They may call me names, and I may get kicked out of their little circle. But that's okay, because God's character is going to guarantee me His promises. Are first order cowards, like those 10 other spies. We are more often like the people of Israel, giving our cowardice behavior second hand. We get it because of the mealy mouthing around of other people. It was bad enough that the 10 spies were cowards, but it was really bad that when everybody else bought in second hand.
Right.
And when you buy in second hand, that, oh, we're not going to have that kind of revival. Well, I believe it when I see it. You understand? That's negativity.
Right.
You know, that is not speaking of faith.
Right.
That's not right. That is absolutely, positively right.
Amen.
Our search for right and wrong usually starts with questions such as, well, what do the experts say? Well, what do the statistics say? Or what's the general consensus with my friends? What's the general consensus with my family?
That's right.
See, what does mom and dad think? And what does brother and sister think? And what does this one think? That's what usually we start to balance everything on, instead of saying, you know what? What does God say?
Amen.
What does God say about this? What does God think about this? How does God feel about this?
That's right. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
I don't want to be a secondhand coward just because somebody's talking negative.
That's right.
I want to stop and say, whoa, wait a second. This conversation is cowardice.
Right.
Right.
I'm going to call it like it is.
This conversation of gossip behind somebody else's back is cowardice. Come on, Brother Josh Franks. Preach with me, brother.
Oh, you're preaching.
Come on now. It's cowardice to talk this way. It's cowardice to act this way. Can I stop and go, you know, what does God say about that? Those are my friends, but am I going to throw in with my friends, or am I going to stand out and be a minority and give another spirit to follow after God? Wholeheartedly. Right now, and giving you the ability to stand up when things like that go on, that you step right smack dab in the middle of it and get yourself a Caleb spirit and say, not on my watch, not within my earshot, not while my ears are present. Principles we learn as we study the Word of God provide us a dependable roadmap for life. And I'm not quite ready to close, but I'm gonna start bringing some things to a completion here. In this, we understand that the people were not ready to see the promised land. Why? You see, this was not a problem with the will of God. No problem with the will of God. Rather, the problem was with the people in that they were unable to handle the will of God.
Yes.
Thus rendering themselves unable to demonstrate the power of God. Because God wants to demonstrate His power through us. That His will might be perfected. So the problem lies with us. I have nobody to blame but myself. I'm telling you, every time I feel it over and over and over again, our society is driving it into us that it's everybody else's fault. It's everybody else that I'm where I'm at, and why this is like that. Why I can't get, the reason why you can't get a job is because you won't get off your lazy butt and go get one.
That's right. Amen.
No, don't tell me I don't have a ride. Get out there and get on your bicycle and get one, you lazy turd.
Oh, amen.
Yeah, I said it. You want to be a turd? Go lay out in the yard. I'm getting tired of all the lame, stupid excuses.
Yes, sir.
I'm mad because we as the body of Christ have bought in to lies of society.
That's right. Amen.
Well, I can't do this and I can't do that and this isn't that way and this isn't fair because this isn't heaven. Do something.
Yeah.
Quit griping and complaining and do something. We live in the greatest country still.
Yes, we do.
I said we live in the greatest country still. We live in the greatest country still. And there is no excuse for our laziness. There are some of us that are going to stand in judgment against those in Africa that go miles. Do you remember the man that didn't have that was paralyzed from the waist down that crawled 7 miles? I think it was 7 miles on a woven bamboo mat on his hands, scooting himself along just to get to church, and it took him 3 days to get there. Because he was determined to get to church. He was determined to get in the presence of God. He was determined to feel after God. Yet some of us drive the nicest cars. We live in nice homes. We have nice clothes. We have food on our tables. And we can't even get to the house of God on time.
Come on.
We make up all sorts of silly little excuses. We're going to stand in judgment with those people. There's people that have gone on to be with the Lord that had a lot less than we did or we do, and have done a lot more with a whole lot less. I said they've done a whole lot more with a whole lot less, and we will stand in judgment for that.
Lord, help us, Jesus. Oh, my Savior.
If we ever have the opportunity to propagate the gospel, we have it here.
Right.
If we ever had an opportunity to let all of Sparks and Reno know that we are here, we have it.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Jesus.
Oh, Jesus.
Well, I see where this is the promised land, but I don't know if I'm ready to see it yet. I don't know if we can really conquer it. I don't know if we can really do it. I don't know if that's really possible. Are you struggling with the will of God in your life? I know of a young man right now that is not in church, that is far from God, that has a call on his life because he could not handle the will of God. He could not handle the will of God in his life. Not even going to go into all of the details, but I'm telling you today, if God comes, he will be lost and go to hell knowing the promised land was just an answer away. Was just one act of obedience away. The promised land could have been fulfilled in his life. Not quite ready? Will your kids or someone else in the church get to experience what God's promised you? Are you okay with that? Are you okay with that? Are you okay with somebody else experiencing the promised land when it's your promise?
No.
Are you okay with the next generation experience the glorious, miraculous, powerful revival that God intends for today to be to the next generation while you wander? No. I'm asking you that question. You need to ask yourself that question. Am I willing to do this? Because you're sacrificing an awful lot for your careers, for your education, for your houses, for your cars, for all these things. But are you sacrificing the same amount of time and energy and effort for the kingdom of God?
Well, you're not shouting.
Jesus.
I don't really expect you to. I'm preaching to us. Because I'm preaching to us the parable of the sowers. The sower went out to sow, and he had some good seed. And some fell on wayside ground, and some fell on thorny ground, and some fell on stony ground, and some fell on good ground. It was all good seed. What was the difference? It was all good seed, but the difference was the soil that it fell on. And we oftentimes want to say, this has everything to do with those out there, that what kind of ground we sow on. No, I'm sowing some seed into your heart. What kind of ground do you have?
Yes.
I'm sowing some seed into your life right now. What kind of ground do you have? Are you so full of the world that you just got that thorniness growing up around you that I'm throwing out seed and it's being gobbled up by the thorns? Are you so full of yourself, so rock hard, that when I throw that seed into your world, it just sits there and it grows? You get excited for a second, you grow up, and then
little bit of trial, temptation, and persecution comes, and you wither away in your commitment and your devotion.
Am I throwing seed out today on some wayside ground that the devil no sooner is coming by and snatching it up right out of you before it even gets there?
So,
you're responsible for your soil.
Right.
And I'm responsible for putting the plow in. And I'm putting the plow in. Are you allowing the plow to dig in to your rocky soil so I can start pulling some rocks out so that seed will make its way into some good ground and come to fruition? Are you allowing the plow right now to go deep and dig out the root of the thorns that have choked out some good seed that God intends for you to have for the promised land? I'm preaching to us of the promised land, and I am putting down a plow, and I'm hitting some rocks, and I'm working through some thorny ground and trying to pull out some roots, because I can't get the seed to the good ground that it needs to get to in order to come to fruition. I'm not ready to see the promised land yet. That's why I'm digging. That's why I'm pulling out some rocks. We got to get rid of that. We got to get rid of that rock. Get rid of that junk. Get rid of that worldliness. Get rid of this and get rid of that. Let the plow start to dig deep. Nobody can see your worldliness because you keep the thorns cut at ground level, but the plow is finding the root. I said the plow is finding the root. The plow is digging deep and saying, are you wanting to see the promised land, or are you all talk? You got to understand today, I am in no way, shape, or form upset or mad. But what I see today is potential. And I want you to know that I see potential. And that's why another day, I've set my hand to the plow. That's why again today, I've set my hand to the plow. And I've said I can't just do some superficial plowing, but I gotta get deep into the earth today. Because there's still some stuff that needs to be brought out so we can see and experience the promised land. And every test, every step that I've taken even today has been a struggle. And I felt it in the spirit, but I'm not looking back. I'm going to keep my hand to the plow because I know if I keep on digging, if I keep on plowing, and I keep on planting seed, I'm going to see the fruit of my labor. Because I know that there's going to be a Caleb bird. I know that some way, somehow, there's going to be a Caleb bird that's going to say one day, give me my mountain, give me all that is mine. I'm as strong as I was back then. I'm well able.
Yes. Yes. Praise
the
Lord.
Some of us are so caught up. But I didn't get the root. Are you going to be mad at me now because I set the plow down to get to the root of the matter? Plowing is painful to the soil, but it's necessary to get it ready to receive the seed. The Lord causes, He allows testing to come to our lives to prepare us for the seed that He desires to plant inside of us, to give us His will. He's telling us again today, this is my will. Do you want to see it? Let me get rid of some stuff so I,
yes, Lord,
I can do your will.
Yes, yes.
Ooh. You put more on us than we can bear. No, I'm not. God will never put more on us than we can bear. But with every temptation, He'll make a way of escape. But yet at the same time, in John 6:12, He even said, I have many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. I wonder, when I read that scripture, I was smote to my core that Jesus said, I got many things. Can you imagine the miles? Jesus saying, I got a lot of things to tell you, son, but you can't bear them. When I read that, I go, well, wait a second. What do I got to do to be able? Because I want to hear what you got to do. I want what you got to say. But you're telling me I'm not able to bear it? Oh, what is it? I want to do your will. I want to do your will. Yes. Is the Lord saying that to some of us here today? I got a plan and I got a will for your life, but you're not able to bear it. You're not able to bear the correction. You're not able to bear the instruction. You're not able to bear it. You won't really listen. You won't do. You won't obey. But I got a lot that I could do with you. Brother Clem, you're not dead yet. You still have something you can do for God. I don't care how old you are or how young you are. You've got something that you can do for God if you're willing to bear it. It doesn't matter how ugly your situation is, how difficult your situation is. Not quite ready to see the promised land yet. Not quite. Not quite. If we were to go to Joshua, which I'm not going to go, but Joshua, there is a place that after 40 years, got here real quick. After 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, not getting anything to quote unquote done from really what we see on the surface. 40 years come and go, that generation has died off. Joshua says, let's go. They go over Jordan. Why was that next generation ready to go over when their parents were not? Joshua 10:7 said, Joshua ascended from Gilgal, he and all the people of war with him. All the mighty men of valor. something happened in that 40 years. Something transpired. They were able to get rid of the slave mentality. And Joshua, with the help of Moses just before he died, you understand, all that generation died, and Moses died at the tail end just before they went over. With the help of Moses being raised in the house of Pharaoh and seeing the greatest armies train, Moses was telling Caleb, "Come here, Josh. You're going to be Caleb. Come here. Step miles. You're going to be Josh, just like you are." And I'll try to be Moses, but I don't think I can do it. For that 40 years, Moses knew the promise made to these two men. And while the other 10 spies died off, and while all the others died off, Moses was saying, "Boys, this is what we've got to do. We've got to train our men how to fight and not be a slave. We got to train our men not to be a slave, not to think like a slave, not to act like a slave, but to hold their head up, bring back their shoulders, and stick their chest out and fight." Yes. We're not going back to your slavery. Something's got to happen in this generation. Never throw our head out of the locker and the fire. Moses taught Joshua and Caleb how to be men of war, how to be leaders of men of war, men of valor.
Yes. Amen.
And not to be a slave.
Yes. Praise the Lord. Yes.
And that's what happened. That day, Moses died. Joshua and Caleb said, "Come on, guys. Let's get her done. Let's get on the other side of Jordan and go get our promise. Let's go get the promise that God said was ours. And even though we were 40 back then and we're 80 now, we're just as strong and we're just as able. We're just as capable. Let 40 years go by, but I'm ready to see my promise. But I'm not going as a slave. I'm going as a mighty man of valor. I'm going with a different mindset." I'm not going in with my head hanging down and my shoulders stooped over. I'm going in with my head held high. I'm a child of God.